Introducing the wonderful, the beautiful, the effervescent, fluorescent vessel of truth, love, and gratitude, I give you Nicolette Rich.
Journey to Reiki. Hello guys, this is Nicolette back with another episode. And today we are going to talk about journeying to Reiki. The title is Journey to Reiki. And I have the lovely Mark Allen with me today.
Hi.
Hello. And it was actually Mark Allen's idea to do a live. I typically like to pre-record, get everything solidified, and then post. But today we're just going to try it out and see how it is to do a live, give you guys a sneak peek, whoever catches it. Cool. If you don't, you can always stream on Spotify as well as iTunes. But yeah, we wanted to talk about both of our journeys to Reiki, what Reiki means, what it means to us, and essentially what we're here to do. So, as usual, we have an outline of five things that we'll be focusing on. But first, we want to start with what Reiki is. And in a short definition, Reiki is universal life force energy. So for you, would you like to expand a little bit more on
So the word Reiki is Japanese. Rei meaning universal, and ki meaning life force energy or chi or prana. There's a lot of words for it. And Reiki is one modality of energy healing. It was a method that was developed, rediscovered, recontextualized by a Japanese doctor more than 100 years ago, pre-World War I.
Usui
Mikao. Mm-hmm. And it's passed down through an oral tradition. There's books about it. There's stuff you can learn. But the attunement process is something that's orally transferred from teacher to teacher. And I think a lot of people are familiar with energy and a lot of people are familiar with healing. And Reiki is a very, I wouldn't say scientific, because it's not necessarily scientific, but it's a context. It's a protocol. It's a method, a very developed method to explain to someone else how to activate it.
It's been developed into a method, but universal life force energy is all around everything.
Us. Yeah.
It's nature, it's Mother Earth, it's you, it's me. It's everything all around us. And so this practice is just a way to facilitate healing within ourselves, as well as being able to spread that healing to other people.
And channel it. You can channel into objects. You can channel into your art.
Absolutely.
A lot of methods and uses for it.
Yeah. So both Mark Allen and I have gotten into Reiki. I've finished my first level of attunement, but I'm waiting, and I actually just got the date, to go into the second level of Reiki healing. And you have gotten your attunement in February, you said?
Yes. I got level one in February, and then I did level two online with my really good friend, Bianca, I think in March or... No, it would have been June.
Oh,
so,
wow. Okay.
Recently.
Yeah. So, yeah. And so we were talking about just how, you know, we've gotten to this point. And the first thing is that, you know, the desire to help the collective heal has already been a calling. Especially, I mean, I'll just say that for myself. Mm-hmm. But that is our point, number one. And that's something that we share. And you can go more into that based on how you feel. Obviously, I talk about that a lot on my podcast. So
I think I'm an artist, and I think my goal has always been to reach an audience. I didn't necessarily realize that was a healing act. It was more of me just wanting to be creative and share. But now, through getting to Reiki and understanding more, it's like everything we do is having an impact on our community at large. And also, too, discovering whenever we do that self-healing work within ourselves, we're also healing generations of ancestral trauma that's within our lineage.
Absolutely.
And then also, in effect, making a shift on the collective as well.
And then the lineage, you know, our lineage or our legacy moving forward, preparing them for a better foundation for, mm-hmm. you know, a better life in general. You know, that's definitely something that I've talked about and I focus on a daily basis. And it gets hard sometimes, you know, thinking big picture like that all the time.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure. A lot of responsibility.
A lot of responsibility. So then that takes us to our second point, which is us talking about natural progression. And then I kind of tied that into divine timing. So what would you, or how would you expand more about how Reiki became more of a natural progression for you?
I would say I really got into my spiritual practice in 2015. And that's when I first got my first tarot deck and first really got into crystals and astrology. And I think all of those things tied together. And that was all coming from a desire to connect with my own divinity and divination and my own spiritual connection. And then through that and through my community and through seeing Reiki and having experienced Reiki and then getting into it and realizing it was a way, it was just a natural progression that really tied things together and contextualized it into a healing art.
Right. And then extending that to other people in a way to see, okay, this is how I'm expressing myself. This is how I'm creating. But you can also do that for yourself. What, you know, how are you going to take a step up? And, you know, I mean, I guess, like, again, going back to expanding your mind and healing yourself, you know?
And I think too, a system, I think it's like a, this tradition, it's a system that really puts a lot of things in perspective. And then having Reiki, having the ability to call upon and channel that Reiki and practicing it more, and then realizing that you can, you're putting it into everything that you're doing.
Absolutely.
And in the podcast as well, like, there's Reiki energy traveling through the airwaves, traveling through our art, what we create. So it is really a natural progression. And the same, the thing I always tell my friends and clients is that Reiki energy isn't just, you know, the healing is not happening just in this moment. It's also happening dimensionally. It's happening energetically. And our body, it has the natural ability to heal itself. So we're not really like calling upon this magical, I mean, it is magical, but it's not more magical than our own bodies.
Absolutely.
And our body is naturally healing itself, but in order to do so, we have to be in this relaxed state and allow our body to heal itself. And I think that's where Reiki really comes in handy, is like relaxing the body, getting naturally in tune, and letting your body do what it does best.
Yeah, slowing down. It's another form of meditation.
Especially in this day and age where we're just overly stimulated all the time.
Very much so. Especially with the internet, like, that's really all that we've been living and breathing by, because there's no, you know, there's not as many entertainment and, you know, what am I trying to say, entertainment events where there's larger gatherings and there's movie theaters. I mean, there's things here and there, but it's not as widespread. So the internet is all that we have, and it's just shooting information at us constantly. And we're like filtering it out, but a lot of times we're just taking a lot of it in.
And processing. I mean, a lot of us haven't processed it. We're just all our responsibilities or the daily struggle of life. And I think everyone could use a moment to just have time to calm their nerves. And I mean, meditate's a buzzword that's thrown around a lot, but I think meditation's important to like be able to have moments where you can not have to worry about all the things that are bugging you, so you can really get to that shadow work healing that we're all needing to do.
Yeah. So, and then with the second point, natural progression, I also tied that into divine timing, because for me, I didn't really think I was ready to venture into this Reiki healing lifestyle, if you will. But I mean, it was actually like offered to me as a free class through a friend of a friend, like actually Chioma, we follow each other on Instagram, so she may see this later. But anyway, yeah, she was just offering this scholarship that Alex, who was the, you know, my master, Reiki master, offered to her. And she had to go out of town or something, and so she randomly offered it to me. And I was like, you know what? Her spirit, I am on a mission. And so from that point, I'm like, okay, like obviously, you know, there's different shifts that I'm making in my personal life, but for the most part, again, going back to number one, I always knew that helping heal the collective was a part of my journey. So Reiki just kind of allows, at least in my mind, it allows me to have a more clearer path, you know?
And it finds the right students at the right time, and then
right, right.
The, the patients find, or I, you know, patients, clients, whatever you want to call them, but people who come to a rate, like it's almost takes a life of its own too. Like it find Reiki always goes where it's needed. So even you don't ever have to worry about doing Reiki wrong, because even just by placing your hands and allowing the Reiki energy to flow through you, it's going to go where it's needed all the time.
Absolutely.
And those who need it are going to find the right person for them. Same as just, you know, I was searching for a teacher for a while, and I was going to go with a certain person, but she didn't have time available, and then I realized it wasn't the right teacher for me, and then found the right teacher for me, and it worked out
perfectly.
And I was already familiar with a lot of the concepts, so for me, having that one-on-one teaching was really beneficial to me, because I could kind of skip, not skip past, but like go faster through the stuff that I was already familiar with.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I think when you're in tarot and you're in, you know, Reiki one's pretty easy, because a lot of people have already worked with this
that,
on some level same. Intuitively.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested to see like how more in depth we go for level two. And I know we're going to be like doing practice sessions with each other. Like there's a massage table that's going to be there.
And level two's level two, you learn the symbols more, the main symbols and then other symbols. But then one of the symbols is about distance healing, because Reiki can be sent at a distance. You don't need to be in a physical presence with someone. So Reiki 2 is really that next step, especially if you've practiced a few times, to get familiar with how to also send Reiki at a distance. I use Reiki to clear houses as well when I'm doing my home cleansings.
Awesome.
There's a lot of practical applications from Reiki. And then Reiki 3 is the master level, and that's when you learn to be able to pass on that information to others once you're going to have like a certain number of sessions or experience under your belt.
Okay. And I think all the teachers do a different layout in terms of,
and that's like, the beauty
what'll
thing
make
is, like,
you credible or not, you know.
It's a system, and like it's orally passed down, and so everyone's going to have their own method. And it started, I think it's interesting because it started off as a hands-off method, but then when it came to the West, the woman who brought it to the West thought that
bringing it to the Christian community,
people needed more hands. People felt they needed the hands-on approach to feel like it was actually working,
like laying hands. And
but now I'm, you know, with Corona, I've been doing more hands-off method.
And I've actually been doing that too.
I enjoy the hands-off method. And I think that's, for me, I think it's important to also have someone be sensitive to their own spiritual energy without needing to feel your physical hand to actually feel the energy.
That's funny you say that, because I was just talking to a friend about that today, and I'm like, you know, I think I want to focus more on not touching, just because, you know, unfortunately there is a lot of corruption around, you know, Reiki healing and just a lot of spiritual practices in general. And people come from trauma, so the last thing that you fucking need is somebody
in your space
distorting you, or distorting your space, or just being in your personal space if you're not quite comfortable with that yet. So yeah,
and as a practitioner too, I think you get, you know, and there's certain chakras that, you know, the heart chakra is going to be around the chest, the root chakra is going to be around the hips, so there's sensitive areas that you don't want to like, you can still work with at without having to physically touch and make someone uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
And I think it's important, I think now, and I use crystals in my services. Not everyone uses crystals, but I feel like that helps them to anchor that vibration and to really become sensitive and aware of their chakra and the crystals and the energy. And it's almost like you're teaching them to be more sensitive and really feel these subtle energies. Because it is a very subtle, you know, it's not like this violent thing that happens. It's a very gentle, subtle practice.
I like that though. It's cool. I'm gonna have to get some practices from here from Mr. Mark Allen here. But yeah, so going to number three, we talked about how the revolution that obviously is happening, the movement that we're all familiar with, the revolution leading to spiritual awakening amongst the collective, like us as people. There's a lot of people that are expanding their spiritual awareness, that are becoming more sensitive, that are becoming more just aware of our, like, what reality is and what it isn't, I think is like the best basic way to put it, because everybody's not necessarily seeing spirits and talking to their ancestors and shit. Like, that takes time and progression and practice, but a lot of people are understanding at minimum that our reality for what we know it as is not exactly mm-hmm. real.
And that there's there's various levels of dimensions, and there's...
Yeah.
I think one of the most important things people are coming aware of is their own personal power. How much power how you have over your own life.
Absolutely.
And a lot of empaths, which a lot of people who are healers are on the empath...
spectrum.
Yeah. And I think that, it's, known that their empaths are very much targeted by narcissists, and there's like this codependent relationship in a lot of times. And I think a lot of empaths have gone through these very traumatic, abusive experiences and have had to learn from that. And I think right now, like a lot of people are waking up from those patterns and realizing that they are, you can reprogram your mind and reprogram your reality, especially with affirmative statements that contradict those negative words that have been cast upon us. Mm-hmm. And also the pressures of society or bad teachers we've had in the past. We all carry those doubts and insecurities. And when people step into their own power and realize that, like, not that everything's our own fault, but at a certain point we have to take responsibility for if we keep attracting the same type of people or the same friendships or the same relationships.
We have to break the cycle.
We have to break the cycle, otherwise we're going to keep bringing that mm-hmm. pain until we realize we're worthy of more, and we are worthy of success, and we are worthy of abundance and
all things
joy.
Great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that's what's also really important about, Reiki too, is understanding, all of this, just the energy, just this understanding of how energy works, and especially when it comes to breaking cycles, until you shift your own energy, you're going to continue to see these repeat cycles in your life. And I can speak on my behalf as well, like relationships with men, like different friendships and toxic traits, behaviors, and I'm guilty myself. But the point is recognizing it, putting a boundary up. If that doesn't work, then cutting shit where it has to be cut, releasing the things that no longer mm-hmm. serve you.
And being aware of the energy, like where our energy is going, like, even anger, at a certain point too, like you can hold anger, but if you're continuing to hold anger mm-hmm. towards someone, you're also giving them power and
Absolutely.
Giving them energy until
Absolutely.
You rise above that and are able to ground that and able to process that. Not that you won't be triggered and these memories won't come up again, but the more we're able to ground and transmute that mm-hmm. energy, there's a lot of transmutation happening around. There's this big purge, and that's what Trump's all about. He's bringing awareness to all of this hate and mm-hmm. all of this.
He's the projector.
Mm-hmm. But through that, it's bringing everything to the surface so that it can
Absolutely.
Be dealt with mm-hmm. and transmuted. And that's our role as light workers, is to mm-hmm. transmute that energy. Everything is energy, and there's always a way to shift it. Mm-hmm. And the more aware you are of your daily energy and being aware of what you're eating and being aware of what you're saying and what you're consuming, it makes a shift in your daily life that I think as a Reiki practitioner is interesting to see how much my life has shifted by being attuned and then also doing the daily practice on myself mm-hmm. and holding myself accountable to the same advice that I'm giving
absolutely
my clients.
Yes, that's definitely a struggle that I have personally, and it's just because I'm human, I think that more than anything, the learning how to shift the energy and learning how to make better habits for yourself in that process is what goes into number four, which is the self-healing that allows you. And I think that's too why I focus more on how I can guide or lead you, because I'm not perfect, and I will not, I'm not going to mm-hmm. try to claim that. However, I can show you, I can guide you, I can help you. And my expectation for a lot of people that I work with is to learn how to expand their minds on their own, or to heal themselves. And with Reiki, obviously you can be a practitioner, as we're both leading into, but then you can also just be a person that has the knowledge of this information, and you can heal yourself. Mark Allen here is going to go through some different hand positions, positions essentially that we learn through Reiki, and you can make, do these practices in the morning, and you know, before you go to bed, it just depends on what works best for you. But I think that especially in this time frame, during this movement, it's so important that we're learning how to heal ourselves. We are, as light workers, and this is just my opinion, but I feel like we are here to lead the way, to shine the light on the shadows, on the darkness, to expand this knowledge, or just share this knowledge. Rather, you have to do the expansion. But after that, you know, there's billions of people on this fucking planet. Like, there are so many people that need to have this healing done. So, you know.
And I think, too, all healing is self-healing. And I think
that, absolutely.
That's the other misconception I really try to tell people about Reiki. It's like, I'm not physically doing anything. The energy does not belong to me or is coming from me. I am just channeling that energy.
Yes.
And it is because you are accepting that energy that your body is naturally healing itself. And I think that's a really important thing that comes up for a ton of my tarot clients are all obviously empaths. But the most common message that always comes up is that as an empath, it is not your job to fix or to change anyone else. All you can do is fix and change yourself, hold yourself in your own high vibration, your own powerful self-love, and your own freedom of expression. And then in doing so, you're going to inspire others to do the same and inspire that own self-healing. So all healing is self-healing. Healers are just here to help facilitate that work and to train and to educate and share that experience, but all healing, self-healing, and everyone will always be on a journey of self-healing. Even the most accomplished Reiki practitioner still has healing that they're going to be doing. It's like it's a never-ending process until we're dead.
Yeah, agreed. I'm glad you made that distinguishment, because that's something that I'm constantly working in my brain as well, because I just don't think it's beneficial to feel like you are some kind of guru or, you know,
you can't have any
cult leader.
You have to take ego.
That ego has to be stripped. And that's, you know, that's another aspect of the podcast that I hope you guys take away from it, is realizing that the ego is constantly being stripped to elevate you. It's not to dumb you down. It's to elevate you.
I just realized we're all the same, too.
Yeah. Like,
there is nothing that's really separating us. We're all part of the same energy that's experiencing life through a unique lens.
Absolutely. But I guess the reason why I say elevate is because until you are elevating spiritually, you can't, you won't accept that.
And you're so focused in your
day-to-day
rat race. Yeah,
your little box that you live in.
Yeah. So. I think that's where a lot of hate comes from, too, because
yes.
I think if people saw the humanity in others more, there is no room for hate. And I think, too, like, America's reckoning with a lot of karma that we have from the past. And America's done a lot of terrible things. The Western world, every country's done terrible things. But right now, it's our job to really, like, elevate that and transmute that and heal that. Because we do have the capacity to heal and to grow and create amazing things together. Once we work past our differences and work past that, which people believe are separating us by borders or by religion or by
the illusions that we, you know, feed our brains. Really not that we feed our brains, that the system feeds our brains, and we're constantly processing, never ending. So yeah, guys, that is our kind of journey, our overview of this journey to Reiki, why it's important to us, what it means, you know, what it is that we are wanting to offer to people. Like I said, I haven't quite gotten my second level Reiki, but Mr. Mark Allen here does have, you have your second and third?
I'm not third.
You're not a third yet? Okay.
No, I'm going to wait until I have a lot of sessions under my belt before I go.
Gotcha. Because
I'm not necessarily ready to pass on it yet. I'm still very much just wanting to practice. But I am looking forward to being able to share that experience in the future for sure.
Absolutely. Me too, guys. So, yeah, but before we end off this episode, Mark is, well, that's the reason why I was bringing this up too, because he has a little more experience. He's going to show us the different hand positions, and we're going to focus more on the seven chakras. I talk about that quite a bit, so I want to make sure that for some of you that maybe haven't seen it or don't have the best understanding of where it is positioned in your body, here you are.
And if anyone has any more questions about Reiki, you're more than welcome to reach out to me on Instagram, Mark Allen Mystic. But I'm going to go through just a really quick guided self-Reiki session. First, before any session, I like to rub my hands to kind of bring that energy, that warmth to them.
I guess I should probably do it too, huh?
Yeah.
I just follow you?
Yeah, do it with me. Okay. And first, I always open space to give grace and gratitude to all of our angels, all of our guides, our ancestors, our spirits, aliens, anyone who works with you, giving gratitude for them being here and working with you, because they're helping to facilitate that healing on other dimensional levels. And so we hold space and gratitude for that. I also hold space and gratitude for Shuni Kao, the rediscoverer of Reiki, the Japanese doctor from more than 100 years ago. And then all the teachers who've come before me, who have passed on their knowledge from generation to generation, getting grace and gratitude for them. And all of my teachers who have taught me everything that I know. And then also giving grace and gratitude to Reiki, universal life force energy, Mother Earth, the energy that is all around us, that is always here for us. And we're calling upon that to fill our vessel with light and love and high vibration. So after you've held your hands and kind of said your own prayer to whatever higher power, first I like to just, taking your hand, palm facing towards you, just, you know, about 6 inches from around your body, just starting from the crown chakra at the top of your head, and just slowly pulling that down. What you're doing is you're just sensitizing your aura, opening your aura, massage. I call this an auric massage. And you can do this for as long as you would like, and you can do this at any point in time. But I'm just going to do that really quickly. You know, you can go all the way down to your feet and focus on any areas that you feel need extra attention. And then first, you can either place your hands directly on the top of your head or hold them a few inches above. And we're going to first open our crown chakra. This is purple light. And I imagine our chakras as lotus flowers that are slowly spinning. So if you imagine a lotus flower or a purple disc that is the top of your head and is slowly opening and receiving this purple light, this is our connection to our higher dimensions. And there are many more chakras, but it's really easy to separate it into the 7 wavelengths of light. But there are many chakras above us, and our crown chakra is connected to all of our higher consciousness. This is where we're receiving our angelic messages, our dream state. Amethyst is a great crystal for this chakra. And so you can spend as much time as you need opening that chakra, visualizing that purple light and seeing it in your mind's eye. Next, we move towards the third eye chakra. If you place both hands directly in front of you, you can place them on your eyes if you wish, or hold them a few inches out from your third eye. There's really no wrong way to do Reiki, because Reiki will always go to where it is needed. But your third eye is an indigo lotus flower, and it is slowly opening and allowing that indigo light to enter into that third eye chakra. And this is our mind's eye. This is how we process information, the visuals we get, our visions, our dreams, how we see the world. Next, we go to our throat chakra. This is also blue, different shade of blue. And this is our communication. This chakra has come up a lot in right now, because our communication is really important. This is our I am statements, how we are reprogramming, how we talk to ourselves and how we talk to others. And then next, we move to our heart chakra. If you want to place your hands directly on your chest or a few inches away from it, the heart chakra is green light. This is universal love. This is our compassion. This is the love we have for ourselves, the love we have for others. Many of us have had hurt or pain in the past, and sometimes choose to block or to protect this chakra, but when you are holding Reiki space, you are allowing yourself to be fully vulnerable and to open these chakras. So again, imagining a green lotus flower that is slowly opening, allowing that green light to radiate. And directly underneath is the yellow solar plexus chakra, a yellow lotus flower that is slowly opening, almost like a sunflower. This is the radiant light of the sun, our joyfulness, the childhood joy of everything that is new and exciting. And the important message for this is to always be doing something that brings you joy every day. Next, going to our solar plexus, or our sacral chakra, which is lower on our belly. This is orange light. Carnelian is a great stone to use for this chakra. And this is about our power, our trust, our growth, and also the food that we nourish ourselves both energetically and spiritually and physically. It's being conscious of the nourishment you are feeding yourself and that energy it's bringing. Also the growth that you've experienced and trusting that. And lastly, around your hips is the red root chakra. And you can also imagine this red light going all the way down your legs to your feet. And this is our connection to the earth. This is a really important chakra in order to remain grounded. You can imagine your roots going deep into the earth and holding and grounding that space. The earth will absorb any negative attachments or energy that you need to release. And so this red root chakra is really great for building that firm, grounded foundation. This is our security and our trust and our growth. So feel free to spend as much time as you need with any chakra. And afterwards, I kind of like to do just one more overall pass and affirm our protective bubble. And again, end with grace and gratitude for your spirit guides and angels and ancestors. Hope you enjoyed that, guys. Thank you so much for joining us.
Appreciate that, Mark.
Thank you for holding space with me.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much. And as always, I am spreading unconditional love wherever you are.